Obviously, Joe Burrow has to be feeling tons of urgency this upcoming season, and not one but two very important players are not at training camp. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The first one, of course, is Trey Hendrickson, who's made no at all. He's a no effort to hide it. Why should he? That he is upset with the contract offer that the Bengals have given him. So he's not even in the state of Ohio right now, Pearl. And then Shamar Stewart is their first-round draft pick, who is not happy about language that's in what we thought was kind of a boilerplate rookie contract, but he's taken issue with it, and he is not there.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Hendrickson, very important. I'm not sure Shamar Stewart was ready to go. Remember, he had basically zero sacks in his entire college career. He had four sacks in three seasons. So I think he was pretty raw coming in. They're totally different. But that whole defense runs around Trey Hendrickson. If he doesn't show it, it does feel like we're headed possibly that way, then my God, are the Bengals going to be easy to score on, Maggie.
They were last year, and it cost them. I mean, a season where you got a fully healthy Joe Burrow, and you can't even make the playoffs. Now, it was a failure all around, although mostly on the defense, because they...
I don't know.
They didn't hold up their end of the bargain.
Definitely not all around. It's just the defense. I mean, we watched a quarterback show on Netflix recently, and just every time we were there for these games, the way that the defense blew these games, and one game they missed a kick, but the way these defense blew these games was unbelievable. They couldn't get a stop at all when it mattered.
So Joe Burrow, obviously, at training camp, talking to the media yesterday, acknowledged that it is disappointing that Shamar Stewart and Trey Hendrickson are not in camp.
Yeah, obviously disappointing. You know, you'd like to have all your guys out there day one to try to build that cohesion that I was talking about earlier. But it's not how it usually works out. You know, it's a business, and that is how it's gone.
Okay, more from Burrow acknowledging it's frustrating that the Bengals seem to deal with these major contract disputes every training camp.
Of course, that's, you know, it can be frustrating, but, you know, that's the business of the NFL. That's how things go.
Okay, so Pearl, you hear that from Joe Burrow, and you think what?
I think I owe you an apology.
Really?
Yes.
Are we recording this?
Several months ago, we argued about Joe Burrow's future in Cincinnati.
Please.
And I said that quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks, never leave their team mid-career. They leave at the end. And you rightly pointed out Carson Palmer, a little different because he wasn't as elite as Joe Burrow. Carson Palmer never sniffed a Super Bowl. And I said, well, you know what? Joe Burrow is so good that they'll find a way to make it work for him. I'm starting to wonder if Joe Burrow wants to be in Cincinnati. Like, is this all falling apart? He sounds resigned, defeated. You saw it in this documentary that I referenced a minute ago, the quarterback. He was arguing with his coach. He just does not seem happy in a meaningful way. And it's July.
Yeah.
If he's like that in July, what's he going to be like in November?
Well, it depends how they doing. You know, if they're winning somehow, if Al Golden, the new defensive coordinator for the Bengals, can turn this group into something that Lou Anarumo, who, by the way, just about a year ago, everyone thought he was the second coming because
he was amazing.
He was able to actually beat Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Andy Reid in Arrowhead. And then he's shown the door. So the one thing about Joe Burrow, and I did say that of all the like star franchise quarterbacks, if anyone was going to ask for a trade sort of NBA style, like superstar switching teams, I thought it would be Burrow. Now, the one hang up is, would he turn his back on Ohio? You know, he is such a big figure there, from there, started his career at Ohio State. That didn't go great. And then left for LSU, obviously catapulted into superstardom. But would he turn his back on Ohio? That's major calculus. But I also question Burrow here, because Burrow got involved in all these contract things this offseason.
Yeah.
He was out there stumping so hard, you thought he was running for office with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to get their money. He knows the Bengals. If you give Ja'Marr Chase all that money and you give T. Higgins all that money, there might not be enough left for Trey Hendrickson in terms of guarantees, upfront, cash, all that stuff that's boring but really matters to these teams. I think if Burrow was going on behalf of Trey Hendrickson in the way that he was for Chase and Higgins, or maybe if he was like, listen, give me Chase and give me Hendrickson, and maybe we might have to say goodbye to T. Higgins, I think Joe Burrow had a lot to do with guys getting paid this offseason. Maybe Chase would have always gotten his money, but I think he had a lot to do with T. Higgins getting his money. And so for him to stand up now and say, oh, I'm so frustrated and disappointed, well, maybe you could have thrown some of your weight behind Trey Hendrickson. Maybe it would have helped.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I'm an Eagles fan, and they pay everybody. And who else are the Bengals paying? I'm not buying that. I think I'm apologizing. I think in March I might have thought that way. The Bengals are so cheap. Their owner keeps coming out and saying these idiotic things about not wanting to spend money. Forget it. No way. There's no excuse here. This is on the Bengals, and you can hear it in Burrow's voice. He blames the team. And if he had gotten behind Hendrickson and you can't let T. Higgins go. T. Higgins is amazing.
Pearl, this is what
happened. Great. To let him go would be a quarterback not wanting T. Higgins. He would have to be institutionalized because that would be crazy to not do everything you can to get him back in the fold.
That's fine. And I get what he's talking about. But then Joe Burrow, you can't take the contract that takes the biggest percentage of the cap, which his does.
But all the
all these other huge quarterback contracts, he takes the biggest percentage of the cap. Other guys have structured their contracts different ways. Now, maybe the Bengals offered one and only thing. I don't know. But Burrow's contract isn't one of these, like, ridiculously team-friendly. It doesn't get reported that way. So, I don't know. Well, I mean, I get Burrow's frustration, but he also took every dollar.
You know, Joe Burrow, I'm seeing, is at about $55 million. Jalen Hurts is at $51 million. He took a huge contract, and they pay everybody. I'm not buying it anymore. Forget it. I'm not giving the Bengals any excuses. I'm team players in this one. Burrow, you heard that in his voice, right? He's not happy about this situation. Of course he wants Trey Hendrickson. And also, of course he had to lobby for T. Higgins. I would hope he would lobby, as a quarterback.
He went above and beyond.
As he should have. 100% should have. He should have done he should have driven to Mike Brown's house and begged to bring T. Higgins back.
Okay, but here's the thing. Why did the Bengals not make the playoffs last year?
Their defense.
Exactly. So if Joe Burrow, really, who is more important?
Well, I mean, but Joe Burrow's going to throw to T. Higgins on Monday. He'd be like, go out for a pass. Sorry, I wanted the defensive end more than you. I mean, he's obviously got to help his wide receiver.
He does, but you know what? Sometimes when you're that elite of a quarterback, you need to make it work with guys who are... He's got Chase, first of all. So you got the best wide receiver, him, Justin Jefferson, 1-1A, whatever order you have him in. And then... sometimes you got to make it work with the rest of your receiving core, and it can be more of the Yoshi Vashes as opposed to the T. Higginses.
So, okay, let me just get this straight here. You're saying if you were Joe Burrow, you would have at least thought about maybe I shouldn't stump for T. Higgins.
Maybe I should have Trey Hendrickson back because...
Listen, he's not the GM.
I understand it, but he was out there very publicly putting pressure on the organization. He's the one guy who could do it.
To sign T. Higgins.
Yep.
And you would not have done that if you were Joe Burrow.
Listen, I think I would have been very much about Trey Hendrickson has to be back. If I think that Trey Hendrickson, what do we think about Trey Hendrickson? Yeah. He's incredible, led the league in sacks last year. The defense was terrible. He can't just do it all on his own. So I don't know if maybe there's an idea of we lost with Trey Hendrickson, we might lose without him. I don't know if that's the idea. That would be stupid if you're in Cincinnati. Obviously, you need other guys to step up. It's not defense is not a one-man band.
That's a good point.
But how does Joe Burrow really feel about how good the defense
is? It doesn't matter. He's not the GM. It's totally irrelevant about how he feels. Like, he's not going to have a five-year strategy to fix the defense. He plays quarterback. He has an amazing number two receiver, probably the best number two receiver in the NFL. Of course he wants him to get paid.
Okay, but stars can put their thumb on the scale.
Yes, and he did for T. Higgins, as he should have.
And should he have done it for Trey Hendrickson?
He's doing it right now. And by the way, he had said a lot of things about Hendrickson, a lot of positive things.
Of course he has, but it was like, it felt like because I've listened to a lot of those interviews, it felt like he was Jamar Chase 1, of course.
Yeah.
T. Higgins 2. And
his
then
guy. Yeah.
Trey Hendrickson was like the third guy who needed to get paid. And that's how it's played out, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, T. Higgins is awesome. He had no choice but to do that, and I'm glad T. Higgins got paid. You know, the funny thing about T. Higgins, it's pretty short term. They could get out of that pretty soon, which is a mistake, because T. Higgins is definitely, he's number two receiver there. He is well within the top 20 of NFL wide receivers. And also, it's a relationship thing, too. Doesn't he have to stump for him?
Also, T. Higgins only played 12 games in the last two seasons. 12 games in 2023, 12 games in 2024 because of injuries.
if he was on the market, would he, if he had made the free agency market, would he be the number one receiver out there?
Yeah, probably because Devontae Adams is older. Yeah,
I'm Joe.
For sure. But, I mean, he still has missed games the last 2 years. He's fantastic, but would he have broken a record for highest paid wide receiver? Like, would he have broken...
pure free agent, he'd be way
Jamar Chase's extension or Justin Jefferson's or CeeDee Lamb's? No
free
way.
Free agent, he would have gotten 30. He'd probably be right below CeeDee Lamb.
My question is, so do you feel sympathy for Joe Burrow? And I guess, like, what are the real expectations for the Bengals this year? Because I think the expectations are Super Bowl, no?
It's a two-sided game, Maggie. It's defense and offense. Man, if they can put together a Super Bowl run, then Joe Burrow should just quit and go straight to Canton. How is he going to get this? What, you just said it. Trey Hendrickson and Jamar Stewart are out. Who else is there? Jesse Bates is killing it in Atlanta. Like, they have no players on defense.
I know, we've talked about there are four clear top-tier quarterbacks, and then we can start talking about everyone else, right?
Yeah.
Although EJ and Manny did not think that Joe Burrow belonged in there, but it was Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Burrow. That's kind of like the four people. We'll see if Jaden Daniels plays his way into that top tier, or CJ Stroud, or some of these younger guys, but... Right now, it looks like four, and then we're talking about the next tier of guys.
Yeah. I just feel like we talked about it last week. It goes even beyond Joe Burrow. I think Perloff maybe is coming, not man on Joe Burrow, but coming back to this side of the class. The Bengals are old news. Us thinking about them like they're 20, this is 2021, it's not happening.
Window closed already.
But their
defense is horrendous. Like, it's, right. They can't overcome that.
But Joe Burrow could win MVP this year, though. I don't think he's old news.
I don't think he can win MVP if your team's winning 9 to 10 games or 8 games even. We haven't seen it. Who's done that?
No, you got to be a number one or number two seed.
Adrian Peterson won in Minnesota when he snuck them into the playoffs.
He's a running back. I think that's different. I think as a quarterback, it's going to be a lot harder. And last season, when the Bengals were kind of in the mix, they tried to shoehorn Joe Burrow into that MVP conversation. But guess what? Like, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen just kept winning games. He's not going to be able to match those guys. That's why I don't think you see him with all the All-Pros or the MVPs. The team's not good enough.
I think that's a poll question. Are the Bengals old news?
Yeah, I mean, you said Super Bowl are in, and I was like, what?
I mean, you got the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the best receivers in the league.
I mean, I almost feel like this is a bit of a rebuilding year. They are the...
what a waste then. Now you're wasting Burrow's prime. Like, that's the unforgivable part also. If you're a fan of the Bengals, and this might not be a shocker to you, but to be wasting healthy Joe Burrow years is just unconscionable.
The funny thing is, their defense, we talked earlier in the show about how nobody knows the names of any MLB managers.
Yes.
I think even amongst an NFL crowd, like a game, you could go and say... Other than Trey Hendrickson, name a Cincinnati Bengal defender, and I think most people would shake their heads. They are the most anonymous defense because, and I think that Mike Brown, he's talked a lot this offseason, and he sounds cheaper and less interested in winning every time you hear him.
You know who people are going to remember, unfortunately, is Joseph, was it Osai, the guy who did the push Patrick Mahomes out of bounds?
Yeah.
And more infamy.
And that's a defense that used to have players. Like, they had guys. I watched them last year, and they blamed Lou Anarumo for everything. I'm like, this guy was the best defensive coordinator a couple years ago. Now he forgot how to coach defense. No, you have no players.
They keep drafting guys though in the top 100 on defense, and
it's not working out. And maybe this is the year some of those young guys step up and they start to play towards their draft status. But I just watched this team, and I don't see a team that's a Super Bowl contender at all.
I recently watched the Bengals-Rams Super Bowl, which the Bengals should have absolutely won. Samaje Perine just gets 3 more inches. But their best defensive player, I think, remember Jermaine Pratt, who was released? He was all over the field. And like they're like, well, we don't need him back this year. Like, it's a personnel thing. And that's what I think. It's not coaching. It's they do not want to pay for a defense for some reason. It's killing them.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If you would like to weigh in on the Bengals, are they old news? Speaking of the AFC North, we also have a poll question out here. Who needs a playoff win the most this upcoming season? Pittsburgh Steelers edition. Now, TJ Watt was doing an interview recently where he said the fact that he has not won a playoff game in his 8-year NFL career is, hurts his legacy. So we asked, who needs a playoff win the most? Aaron Rodgers, TJ Watt, or Mike Tomlin? Would you like to see and hear the results, early results, Pearl?
Should meet his brother, TJ. He's the man.
Absolutely.
77% of you guys are saying Mike Tomlin needs a win more than Aaron Rodgers or TJ Watt. And you know, it's funny, it actually squares. I was just talking to one of our head of sales here, Brian Rooney, in the hallway, and he is a diehard Steeler fan. Ooh. I asked him what his answer would be. He said Tomlin going away. And it got us into a side topic of, do you blame defensive players when they don't win Super Bowls? Like, would Ray Lewis or would LT or any of these amazing guys?
Lawrence Taylor, by the way, not LaDainian Tomlinson.
I don't. Well, I said defense. I hope people do that.
No, I know. But he also famously did not win. Well, he's the guy who did not win and became super famous.
And let's not forget Shuttle.
So, do these guys need Super Bowls to bolster their legacies? And I think we were pretty split on the show about whether Ray Lewis and these two specifically did it. How much did it help Ray Lewis and LT that they won Super Bowls and they are thought of two of the greatest ever?
Yeah.
Reggie White also, you know, won a Super Bowl and I think it helped him. And I think it
played really well in that Super Bowl.
And I think it hurt Bruce Smith.
Definitely.
Not that people don't know Bruce Smith or remember that he was great, but if he had just won one of those Super Bowls, maybe he's in the conversation with Reggie White. Probably not LT.
Yeah, I mean, sacks are funny, too, because, like, the sack leaders are not all. Kevin Green, right, is really high up.
Yeah.
And he's not thought of as great a player as Bruce Smith or Reggie White. He's never in that conversation. So I'm not sure exactly how you figure this out. Bruce Smith, you remember that team for offense, not defense. That's the bottom line. Jim Kelly was not as great a player as Bruce Smith, but the reason the Bills made four Super Bowls is because he had Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Jim Kelly.
Sure.
So I do think it's the team success defines defense as well.
EJ, you think we would believe LT and you know, these guys and Ray Lewis would be just as good even if they didn't win Super Bowls?
I really do. I think that, you know, again, Ray, the 2000 season was so much about him that if you wanted to convince me, I can maybe be convinced that Ray. But I think of Lawrence Taylor and just how dominant he was. I don't think that we would say anything different about him whether he won a Super Bowl or he didn't, you know? And I'm thinking about the guys from my era, my generation, who were great defensive players. I think about, like, Darrell Revis winning one with the Patriots. Does anyone care about that?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's because that's different.
He was good for them, too,
that year. He was pretty good, but he was known as a Jet.
Right, but, I mean, just like, but
people even forgot he was on that. I even kind of forgot he was on that. Which year did he win?
I think most people don't think Darrell Revis has a Super Bowl ring.
Like, which year did he win? I don't even remember.
That's
what I mean.
He was on the team. I know he won one because as a Jet fan, you know, you remember these things. Champ Bailey doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. Champ Bailey wasn't that good because he didn't have a Super Bowl
ring? But was Strahan's legacy redefined by winning that Super Bowl?
I don't think so. Michael Strahan? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think winning that Super Bowl was huge. Ask Tiki Barber.
The GMA guy?
Yeah, ask, like, look what happened to Tiki as an offense player. If he had stayed for that Super Bowl, I think he would have gotten into the Hall of Fame already.
No, I agree. Again, offensive players, I 100% agree.
Okay, yeah.
I think Michael Strahan being, like, the sacks, the season sack leader, being a New York Giant, I don't know.
I think that Super Bowl helped him.
Can I bring up something? I was just taking a look at the NFL, the all 2000s decade team, because you're talking about your era, EJ. It's kind of like the 2000s. Can I just tell you, for the defensive guys who made the first team, how few of them actually won Super Bowls? So let's see, Jason Taylor.
Yeah, again, I was shocked when he made a first ballot Hall of Fame, but go ahead.
Julius Peppers.
Ooh.
Did not win, right?
We lost, yeah.
A couple that did win. Dwight Freeney, Michael Strahan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Richard Seymour. Did he win with the Patriots? Okay, Warren Sapp is on here. So some guys obviously did win. Yeah. Kevin Williams. Leroy Glover. Linebackers here. Now it's Ray Lewis, Derek Brooks, Brian Urlacher. Didn't win.
Well, I mean, yeah, but
Zach Thomas is on here. DeMarcus Ware. Now, Joey Porter is on here, right? He won. So it is cut. Champ Bailey. I can keep going down. Charles Woodson. We can keep doing this. But these guys, we think of as being great players, and they are great players. And I don't think it hurts them that they didn't win.
Ware won.
Yeah, Ware did win. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, just named a lot of guys who won.
No, I know. I'm just naming the list.
Yeah, half of those guys didn't win, though, I would say.
I could
have
kept
the greater
going
half won.
I think, I think some of that great half
way ahead of Brian Urlacher.
I think some of that greater half is I think it's because they're just better players.
Yeah, they were greater players.
Yeah, I don't think like Derrick Brooks was better than Zach Thomas because he won a title. I watched him play. Derrick Brooks was all over the place.
Okay, but Thomas winning a title would have been such a game changer. That guy is so underrated.
He is underrated. But here's the thing.
The first team of those linebackers for the All-2000s team was Ray Lewis, who won, Derrick Brooks, who won, and Brian Urlacher is on there as a first team, even though he didn't win.
Right, but Ray Lewis is considered much higher on the all-time list than Brian Urlacher.
He is, but this 2000s list has them all together as the first team, not ranked. They're all together.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
I don't know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Did we get to the bottom of that? What do you think? Does a defensive player have to win a Super Bowl to help their legacy? Quickly, Jeff's in Rochester is a Bengal fan who is fed up. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. That's right, Maggie. I am in Bill's country, but I've been a Bengals fan my whole life. I was just listening to what you guys were saying about Burrow and him being frustrated with the front office, and I totally get it because it's been kind of a frustrating existence with them not paying players over the years. But I think they're finally doing that. I mean, they made Burrow the highest paid player at his position, and the same with Chase, and they brought Higgins back in. As far as Trey, I hope a deal gets done because he is great at rushing the passer, and they don't have anyone else on that defense. But as far as Shamar Stewart, their first-round pick, goes, I mean, this kid is looking for he's looking for a contract that basically allows him to do stupid things and still get paid for it. And the Bengals are trying to put language into his contract saying, no, you can't do that. So I get it. The Bengals have a reputation for being cheap, but I think they're trying to overcome that, and I think Burrow's just – tired of answering these questions.
Yeah, so, Jeff, thank you for that. And I think Jeff does speak a bit for the fan base, Pearl, where you're frustrated with not paying Hendrickson. The Shamar Stewart one, though, is a little bit more gray area. I think you want to side with the player because apparently the language in the contract has changed recently. But is it all that much different than what every other rookie in the NFL is signing? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to read that Shamar Stewart story in Pro Football Talk about 100 times and gotten nowhere. I frankly don't even care.
Well, you'd care if you were a Bengal fan and you wanted him to show up.
I do not expect. We saw Shamar Stewart play a lot of college football. If you think that guy is going to save that defense, I am so sorry. It's not happening.
888-710-4ISN. Okay, coming up, we will do our NFL superlatives. What was the biggest offseason acquisition? Do that next, MVP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Am I winning any polls today? I feel like I'm having an off day. Usually I don't want to judge my show on how I do on polls, but I was making an argument that TJ Watt needs his W for the Steelers. I got crushed on that one. Mike Tomlin beat him, what? Who needs a championship the most, 76%?
That's where it is right now. I mean, there's still time to go vote, but yeah, who needs a win the most, a playoff win the most this upcoming season? Mike Tomlin, TJ Watt, Aaron Rodgers, now 76% saying Mike Tomlin, you can go vote at Maggie and Pearl.
Yeah, and then EJ and I are debating who needs a Super Bowl more, offensive or defensive players. I was just thinking about in the break, offensive players get to score a touchdown and be on TV no matter what. To know a linebacker or a cornerback, they kind of need to win Super Bowls anyway. But I think by logic, anyway, I'm not even, I'm going to lose this one too. It's a Thursday. It's a nice day. You know what?
It's not an indication of who you are as a person, Pearl. You got to go Scotty Scheffler on this thing. Well, you know, you got to find your joy other places besides these poll results.
Well, no, I think I would win that poll. It's just too hard to put into a poll. It's too complicated.
You know, Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, actually brought up Scotty Scheffler yesterday when he was saying he was on the Cover 3 podcast, and they asked him, so how has life changed since you won, or how does it feel since you finally won the title, sort of get the monkey off your back? And he said the first thing he brought up was Scheffler.
Yeah,
like this idea that you have this sustained period of feeling fulfillment after you win is false. It's it's pretty much back to you enjoy it a little bit. Mm-hmm. You get to do cool things because of it. He said, go to the White House and play golf at fun golf courses and stuff. But then it's pretty fleeting.
Doesn't everybody here agree with that? Everything good that happened in my life, except for my marriage, the high lasts like 5 minutes, and then I'm back to the normal, if not lower. Aren't you like that?
I like to think it lasts more than 5 minutes. I mean,
I'm still high on the 2009 World Series. Go Yankees. Shoot.
I think it's actually chemical. Like, if you get a huge adrenaline rush, immediately you lose all that adrenaline. Yeah, like Nick Saban going back on the recruiting trail at 7:30, I think is more the norm. Unless you're, that's why you stay drunk for about 6 days.
That's how you stay in the glow.
Yeah, I don't know. You've never, I so relate to this that you have an immediate come down. I'd be surprised if there's any athlete who feels differently. Like, what do you think? They're just like buzzing like that for weeks?
Well,
boys are buzzing.
I mean, kind of, because I have felt what you're talking about. But as far as like Scotty was saying, like, I don't even understand sometimes why I'm out. Why do I want to win? Like, his was
exactly
so much more existential. He said a lot of things, but that was one of them. Like, what, you know, what am I doing here? Just sort of this, what are we all doing on this crazy planet? Like, I think if you have a singular focus and you want to be great and there's something to chase, then you have your answer right there.
No, he said family and faith are much more important to him than winning. That's what he said specifically, that's what I'm doing here.
Right. And he also said, I sometimes question, why do I want to win? Like, what is this? Like, what do I want to get out of all of this?
Yeah.
You know? And I think if, for what I'm used to, for guys like Brady and Michael Jordan, maybe, and it was just the chasing history was part of it.
But they definitely always felt empty. They always talked about, like, it was never enough. It never filled that giant hole inside of them. And that's why they're so amazing. Mm. They kept chasing that. And I'm sure for Ryan Day, can you imagine how it's Ohio State. We talked about this. If he loses to Michigan, is he on the hot seat? He probably had to pick up the phone at 8 a.m. and start working again. I couldn't picture him being happy. Especially the way we ripped that poor. You tried to fire him earlier this week by advance losing to Michigan.
I didn't try to fire him. I just said that the fan base is ready to turn on him. And I stand by that.
And he's a reigning champion coach. Yeah. No wonder he's not enjoying this.
Speaking of other things that came out, this is just a quick one. We're talking about Dylan Raiola, who is basically like a Patrick Mahomes kind of lookalike. He was describing to those guys on the Cover 3 pod, they got some great interviews this week, about how he and Patrick Mahomes have a Kobe Michael Jordan type dynamic.
I'm not comparing myself to Kobe or anything, but like Kobe did to Mike, that's kind of what it is for me to Patrick. And so for him, like you said, he's the one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, if not the best. And just for me to be able to have someone to look up to, talk, call, whatever, and in kind of the comparisons is kind of everything outside, right?
Okay, he's just talking about mentorship, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
he's saying I'm not comparing myself to these guys, but then comparing them. I mean, he's had a lot of hype already. The guy was a five-star coming out of high school, right? Dad played the NFL.
He was the biggest recruit in the law. He was generational.
He also says he can't control that he looks like Patrick Mahomes and plays the same position.
What?
I can't control God made me look like this, play the same sports, and but no, it's all love. Football's a great game. It provides great opportunities for everybody, so it's pretty cool.
It's just funny because like God didn't make you get that haircut.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Literally. You could just get a buzz cut and not look like him. What is he talking about?
Well,
you
Mahomes
can also
got the
not
buzz
have
cut.
All the wristbands that look exactly like Mahomes. What is this fool talking about?
And he wears 15 too, right?
Bro, you can wear 10.
God told him to do that.
Oh my God!
No, I have no idea. Does he wear 15?
I think he does. He does.
Okay, he's his favorite player.
Whoop-de-doo, bro. That's weird.
Wore the same sunglasses coming on campus.
Yeah, he's a weirdo. I'm good with him.
Isn't it funny, by the way?
Not a weirdo because he looks up to Patrick Mahomes, man.
No. He's not a white female.
he's not a weirdo for looking up to Patrick Mahomes. He's a weirdo for trying to be Patrick Mahomes.
For looking like Patrick.
The cosplay is a little much.
While also being Kobe, but not Kobe, Mahomes' MJ.
Yeah, man. This dude is.
Also, I think that was always something that, I'm not saying anyone held this against Kobe, but it always was like Kobe was trying to do a Jordan impersonation. I don't know if people necessarily... No. Felt like Kobe was doing the, you know, just be yourself, man. And he was instead trying to do the Michael thing.
Right. And it didn't feel like a negative. You're right. People respected Kobe for doing that. He even sucked the tongue out at times. Or maybe, maybe some people had an issue, but I don't remember. By the way, De La Raiola's star has fallen fast and hard. Like he came in and he was the man. Remember his first game? We were all excited to see him.
I thought he played well against Ohio State. They lost at the end, but they were right there on the road. Really tough game. That was a tight game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know? Hold on. Wait, the breaking news. That's for Andrew Bogish, who's sitting right here. EJ, you're breaking the glass.
Did I touch something?
I'm sick right now.
Yeah. Oh, no. Did someone get hurt?
Rich Cimini. Early concern for the Jets. Justin Fields carted to the locker room. He's riding shotgun on the cart, not on the back. Oh, boy. Hashtag Jets. End of tweet.
Oh, EJ, I'm sorry. Okay, well, he's not in the back of the cart. He's riding shotgun in the cart, so that's a different. That's different.
Connor, he was saying he suffered an injury to his leg. That it was definitely a leg injury.
Brian Costello on Twitter. Justin Fields being taken inside on a cart. He pulled up during a play in team drills and has had his leg being checked since.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
That feels hamstring.
But he limped off.
He was carted off.
Carted.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've seen everything saying he got carted off the field.
Well, yeah. Maybe limped to the cart.
Carted inside after limping off and being checked by a trainer.
Yeah, to be fair, been to that Jets facility, where the practice fields are and where the building is like a 5.5-minute walk. It's pretty far.
You can't. It probably wasn't his Achilles if he limped off, right? I would think.
Unless he's Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, we were just talking about Kobe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tyrese Halliburton yesterday on the Pat McAfee show said, or 2 days ago, I tried walking it off, but then I just couldn't. I just
he's on the ground, stomping his fist like a toddler.
Okay. Let's try to make EJ feel a little better here. Justin Fields was just carted off from Jets training camp. Is it the first day?
Second.
It's the second day.
By the way, if you limp off the field to the cart, is that being carted off?
Carted off the field.
He wasn't carted off
to
the field.
The back.
None of this is making EJ feel better.
No, but he walked off the field and got on the cart, I believe.
Yeah, but then you're being given a ride to the back room, to the training room. That's being carted off.
Well,
okay, I've got two things to make EJ feel better. Number one, it is a loaded quarterback class next year.
Here, I got something to make you feel better. Your whole season's over on July 24th.
Yeah, you're winning two games
this year. It's looking up for you, EJ.
Listen, the team openly tanked a season when they had a top three draft pick at quarterback to try to get Trevor Lawrence. You've been here before. They just got to do it right the next time, not end up with Zach Wilson.
How's your Hawaii rebuild going, EJ?
Oh, my God.
That's your college football video game.
Did you not think you were going to be in the draft class next year with Justin Fields?
I mean, I didn't think we win three games.
Okay, the lowest paid quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, it's football. Let's play the game. Let's see what happens. I was excited to see what Justin Fields was going to do in a new offense, new team. His buddy Garrett Wilson.
I mean, he's a huge college quarterback. Yeah, he was a first round pick.
You're last year's Steelers. You're not paying anything.
But that's the hope is that we found money. We found a $20 bill on the floor. Maybe he's
right. That was the hope. But I do think the win total is five or something.
But now if he's really injured, hope is gone. We don't have any now. It is just draft time, baby.
Okay, Justin Fields got carted off at Jets training camp today, so we're reacting to that news that just happened. So I said, I'll make EJ feel better, loaded draft class next year. And secondly, got to keep the trying to win the war here, not the battle, trying to find your future QB. So I have a second idea for you. Trade for Shador.
Oof.
Let's just get to lunchtime today.
It's not a bad idea.
I have the ham and turkey.
Well, would you want Flacco or Pickett?
What about Shiloh?
No, I'm saying if you're trying to find a young quarterback, you just said you're trying to find a $20 bill on the floor. You don't want Flacco. You already did. It was a disaster. You need to go to Kenny Pickett. I don't think you're into Kenny Pickett. Go to Shador.
But then you have the number one pick next year.
Right.
So then take the number one pick
that you don't.
But
care
you
about.
May it yeah. maybe found we'll, money with Shador if he ends up being good. He fell to the fifth round not because of football. Let's all acknowledge that.
He's fourth string.
Exactly.
On the Browns.
The Browns will let him go.
No, I mean, what does that tell you?
It tells me the draft got messy because of a lot of things I think that had not to do with football, whether it was Shador's attitude, whether it was Deion, all these not football things that maybe don't matter all of a sudden if he's, if it's just based on football talent. You could do a lot worse.
I need a smoke. I don't even smoke.
I've got right Zins. You need some Zins?
Maybe it's just a cramp, EJ.
By the way, I want it. Next year's draft class quarterback? So overrated already.
Oh, great.
People are talking about next year's class 2 years. That's where you got to tank for. Next year, someone's going to have to take Drew Aller off their hands. Oh, my God.
Mark Manning.
I can't believe this. This is how this morning's going to end.
We were just talking about Del Raiola. Del Raiola's going to be like the eighth quarterback taken in 2 years is amazing, dude.
Hey, let me tell you something, EJ. Let me make you feel better. The 2027 draft class for quarterbacks is going to be great with Dylan Raiola.
If you could get all the DJ Lagway, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe Maggie's idea for good news was hang on till May, till next March.
It's July.
Just sit tight.
Wait. That is a great.
Sit tight for 9 months. Realize,
did you not think you were going to be in the market for a quarterback next year?
No, not necessarily. It's not that. I want to see the games. Like, I'm not the guy who's just like, hey, like yeah, there are some seasons where like your season has no hope, and you know that, right? But like,
yes, this year.
Well, no, but you just traded for or signed a young quarterback who was a high draft pick, who's in a new offense. You brought over the Detroit Lions offensive staff, some of them. Like, I want to see what that looks like. And if it's bad, it's bad. I'm not putting my expectations that high. My expectations were not that high. But the fact that now I don't even get to see that potentially, I want to throw up.
We don't know yet. We don't know.
Maybe I should eat a whole pizza. Maybe
you should eat some of that green tuna jello.
It's not all it's cracked up to be. Oh, man, EJ, I'm sorry for you. 888-710-4ISN. Boke, sorry, would you like? We got about a minute.
Nobody here. You're sorry for him. Nobody's sorry for EJ here. Come on.
I am. I feel bad.
Why?
It's July 24th.
Justin Fields was getting paid $18 million. Who on earth cares?
Because it's July. Had this happened in September, I probably wouldn't have felt bad.
Not everyone's team is the reigning Super Bowl champs,
exactly.
Okay? It's degrees on this stuff. Sometimes you just want to see competent football. Sometimes you just want a breath of fresh air after that Rodgers debacle.
Manny,
all that stuff.
How you doing? And some of us came from places with morals and sympathy and empathy.
If there was a website with a link that said Russell Wilson Carter off, would you even bother clicking on it for the Giants? Would you care at all?
Because Russell Wilson is almost 40.
Also, they have their future. Their future is literally on the team. I don't know what the Jets' future is right now.
And you know what else I have?
A gobble gobble goo.
That'd be Jameis Winston.
I got that guy as my backup's backup.
The Jets, there's only one team in the league with a lower win total than the Jets, and it's the Saints. So with Justin Fields. So this is not like Joe Burrow got Carter off. I'm just saying.
Knock on wood. I put that in the universe. Sorry, Bugs. That was it.
Oh, the Yankees lost last night, by the way. They had four errors.
Bro. Make sure to get that in.
8-4. Then whatever, bro.
Okay.
Oh, who cares?
Lots to do, but we just got that breaking news that Justin Fields was carted off the field. We're not making light of it. Just trying to give EJ some options.
We're making light of it.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, by the way, Manny wouldn't even click on Russell Wilson getting hurt, and I'm the bad guy here.
You're both bad, Maggie and Perlo. Oh boy. Tough morning here for executive producer EJ Stewart. As if being a New York Jets fan isn't just punishment enough. Today we get the unfortunate news, according to all of the Jets beat reporters, that Justin Fields was injured on the first play of the second team period today, Pearl. Aaron Glenn, new head coach, immediately stopped the period and moved on to the special teams drill. The cart transporting Fields took the long way to the locker room, avoiding the area where reporters are standing. That's according to Rich Cimini. Now, just a quick note, if you're doing the visual in your head, like, oh, carted off the field is a terrible image. He was sitting in the front seat of the cart. So he's riding shotgun.
And he walked off the cart.
He limped off the field to the cart.
And then he limped off the cart to the locker room, is what Ralph Macchiato said. So it can't be his ACL. That's one thing I would think.
It would not be the, if it's the knee, they're going to stabilize it.
Yeah. You're not going to be sitting in front seat with a knee.
No. Yeah. We're just wondering, if they're calling it a leg injury, like obviously, but is it more like, if it was a hamstring, wouldn't you grab the back of the hamstring? If it's an Achilles, would you be sitting in the front seat?
If he tore his Achilles, I don't think so. But Ralph Macchiato again tweeted, appears to be his right foot / leg.
Okay.
So maybe his, maybe severe ankle twist. Here's a, EJ, I got to make things worse for you. Can you imagine, what if you have a diminished Justin Fields and it's like you're not getting the real Justin Fields, but he's just healthy enough to play?
Oh, yeah, he's limping around. So he's all limping the around, speed that he has is now useless.
And also,
then it's going to be Tyrod Taylor at some point because there's no way he's going to hold up.
Yep.
Well, what if he's like, because you know how hamstrings are. They're so close. Like, you don't know whether you should go out there with a hamstring. Because I'm hopeful that it's not that serious. Like the two ones you don't want are Achilles tear and ACL. So hopefully it's neither of those. If not, because Jordan Love looked like he was out. Remember when he got hurt against the Eagles last year?
Yeah, bet
his knee the wrong way. It was like, well, we're not going to see him. And then he was back 5 weeks later. So that could be. We're early.
So I think I had two good solutions for EJ. One, wait till next year. Good draft class. Two, I think trade for Shedeur Sanders is not off the table here. Let's go to Chris, who's in Kentucky. Feels for you, EJ. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Maggie, great to talk to you, man. I know you guys are up against it. Great show as always. So if you guys remember last time I called in, I'm a native of Western Pennsylvania, so yeah. I wanted to weigh in on who needs the playoff win more. And, all right, Aaron's walking into Canton tomorrow. Yes, it would be nice for TJ, but I'll tell you why it's Coach Tom and Maggie, and this is the reason. You know, his star was so bright for so long, and now, you know, there's some clouds over it, and the pundits in Pittsburgh – it just irritates the you-know-what out of me, wanting to fire him over the last 4 or 5 years. And, yes, has it been frustrating since 2016? Absolutely. But that guy, what he's been able to put together with some of the lack of talent that we've had, we fire him, Maggie. You and I both know he's reemployed in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so I think just to kind of brighten up the star, if you will, I think the pressure's more on him than any one of the three that are on your poll.
Yeah, you can go vote now. Who needs a playoff win the most this upcoming season? Aaron Rodgers, TJ Watt, Mike Tomlin. And Chris is with the crowd here. Mike Tomlin's air quotes winning this one at 76%. But, you know, the funny thing, Chris, you know, Tomlin is so, like, involved in, obviously, the coaching staff, but also player personnel. So it's funny because you're giving him credit for kind of like doing more with less. But is he also not a part of choosing these players and picking these players? Like, does he also not get blamed because he's not your average, you know, first time coach who comes in and the GM's really the one in charge? I think Tomlin has a lot of say in his roster. He gets to pick the groceries and make the meal.
Yeah, but they're a great drafting team. They're a really good drafting team. They just can't find a quarterback. Right. I mean, like. Yeah. What was wrong with Joey Porter Jr.? What was wrong with
probably
that?
the biggest thing you need to find is Kenny Pickett, and they picked the person who was in their own building.
But after Ben got hurt, they've just been in limbo. They haven't had a top five pick.
And I totally agree with you. I don't think Mike, the general manager, pseudo general manager, is as good as Mike, the coach. But we've got, if you guys will see this, we've got 10 to 12 picks with all these top picks coming up. And I've read quote after quote, guys, from Omar Khan. Verbatim, we are going all chips in the center. No matter what we got to do, we are off this quarterback carousel after the next April. So,
absolutely.
We have to. So, great show, guys. I love it.
Chris, thank you, sir.
Real quick, I got a couple other options for the Jets. For EJ.
Okay, so again, if you're just tuning in, Justin Fields was carted off the field today at Jets training camp.
Okay,
leg injury.
I will give you Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz a thing.
We're flirted with them this offseason. And how about Hendon Hooker, who was with Taylor Engstrand in Detroit? And the Lions apparently don't love him. But I've always waited. Hendon Hooker, we loved Hendon Hooker. We were a Hendon Hooker crush team when he was at Tennessee.
Well, he got hurt. He got hurt. Think about it. When Jared Goff had to leave that Lions game, they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, who had been with the team for 14 minutes.
How can Hendon Hooker not be good in the pros now that he's healthy? I don't understand this. By the way, that could really happen because I imagine he's tied to Aaron Glenn and Tanner Engstrand.
I think Shedeur Sanders is your guy.
But
I
then
do.
You're in the same position. If he's bad, you're going to just draft another quarterback. Because the two things you said are a bit contradictory.
Well, what? But it'd be the same thing with Hendon Hooker. It's going to be the same thing with Carson Wentz. Why not make it Shedeur? Then if he's good, found money.
Yeah, but what if he's just okay? Then he's your backup next year?
Sure, move on from him. 888. I can't give the number. We got to go. EJ Stewart. I'm sorry, EJ.
This crap is crap.
That's true. Manny Rodriguez, thank you so much. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Weedos.